My cousin asked me, you know, Chris, everything in moderation, right? Yeah. If you want a moderate life, I want an exceptional life. I got one shot at this. I'm going to go for it. I mean, do you want a moderate life? Do you want to be average? I saw that Nidhi had her hand up, so I'm going to pass the mic over to her.
Well, I actually had a question for you, Chris, because you know, I appreciated the story and, you know, kind of sharing the value of the hard work, especially in those initial years in your 20s. But what I was curious about was, what was the cost? Because we talked a lot about benefit, right? Of course, like, there were lots of gains, lots of opportunities, that momentum, that endorphin rush, right? But I wonder, was there any cost that came with that period of your life as well? Like, did relationships suffer? How did you manage in terms of like your sleep, your mental health? I just was curious.
I love you for bringing up this question, Nidhi, because most, I mean, dudes are like, yeah, bro, this is what we do, pump it up. And you're like, wait a minute, what was the personal cost? What was the cost to your relationships? What was the cost to your body and to your stamina and everything else? Okay. I will say this to you, Nidhi. It didn't cost me anything but my hair. Other than that, I'm just kidding. All right. It did cost a lot in personal relationship. And I'll tell you, for those 5 years, I literally did not go on any vacation, take any holidays. I worked through everything. My cousins and my uncles and aunts would invite me to come up north. I wouldn't do it. I grew up in San Jose. The majority of my extended family's in San Jose. I'm living in LA. I'm just going to stay here for the most part. Because I was singularly focused. I had that Terminator vision, Sarah Connor. I just went for it. I was not going to stop. And it came to a head with my wife at that point. She's like, we need to go on a trip. I'm like, cool. Let's go to Central Coast. Where do you want to go, honey? Let's go to Santa Barbara. I said, very good. You plan it. Let's rock and roll. So we drove up the coast to Santa Barbara. Beautiful, idyllic, you know, city by the sea kind of thing. And you know what I did? I brought 4 copies of Macworld, a couple of business books with me, and I put them on the nightstand. And she's, what are you doing? I'm going to read. She goes, let's go for a walk. I'm like, honey, you go for a walk. I'm not feeling it. And she just gave me the biggest stink eyes you can imagine. And she was frustrated. She's like, what are we doing here? We're not here to sit in the hotel room so you can read those magazines and books. Where's my husband in all this? It did get pretty nasty. At one point, it might have cost us our marriage. Ultimately, we've sorted it all out. And during those 5 years, I never exercised at all. And I tell people I wasn't fat, but I was skinny fat. There wasn't an ounce of muscle in my body. And I worked like an animal. When I say I worked like an animal, there were many nights where I literally sat in the office with a team of designers, sometimes my interns, and we would literally see the sun rise together. Those were the nights. And that's the price that you pay. So I don't say this is for everyone, but I almost feel like those that achieve at the pinnacle, I'm not even putting myself in that category, they have that singular focus and they are able to achieve greatness. It does come at a cost. Otherwise, everyone would do it and everyone would be successful and everyone would be at the top, but they're not. So we all get to make that decision. How bad do we want it? And like I said, I think it feels like 100 cousins and they're all, almost to this, every one of them doing this 9-to-5 thing, with the exception of one cousin. And I see their lives. Some of them are attorneys, some of them are dentists. They all have respectable jobs, but they're just still grinding away. Some of my employees make more money than they do, to put it in context there. So Nidhi, absolutely, I would like to throw it back to you to see what else you might have to add to that.
Yeah, because I really appreciate you sharing that, because I wanted to really get the clearest picture, right? The fullest picture of what this really looks like. And to achieve that level of success requires, of course, great drive, but also great sacrifice. And so then I guess the question would be for Drigo is that, I guess the question to you then, Chris, is that what it takes for anybody to achieve that level of success? Does it require that level of sacrifice at the cost of health and relationships and things like that to get to that level would be my question.
Yeah, I'll answer and then I throw it back over to Driga, okay? I don't think so. This is what I did. This is what's worked for me. You all will have to figure out what's going to work for you. But I got to tell you now a couple different things. And we talked about this earlier in our live stream together, Nitty. First year out of school, I paid off all my credit card debt and I had a lot. I maxed out 2 credit cards. I think in the first 2 years, I paid off my entire student loan. I still know friends who I went to school with that are still paying down their student loan today. 25 years later, they're still paying down their student loan, which shocks me, right? And then I think 3.5 years out of school, thanks to the generous contribution of my wife, my wife's mom, she put down the deposit for a home that we bought. It was $500,000 home. I'm 26 years old. A year and a half after we bought the home, I returned the $100,000 gift that she gave us, and then we started to pay down that home. And I think it was 4.5 years into our business, my wife retired. I retired her. We don't need to be both working. And since then, she's never worked another day. And today she gets to do anything and everything that she wants. My only job for her is to be happy. So there is a price to pay, but there is a reward. And she's asking me this question right now in the middle of the pandemic. She's like, I want to go home to Taiwan. Is it okay? I'm like, you go for as long as you want, honey. She's like, what about the kids? You know what? We have support. I can figure this thing out. Do not worry about this. Whatever you want to do, you can do. So I had said to Drigo earlier, if you make money, what is money for? Money is for freedom. Use it. Do what you want. So there is a price to pay. There is a reward. And each and every single person will have their own path. I'm just sharing with you my path. There are obviously other paths to success. Now, if you have a God-given talent, maybe you don't have to work as hard. But there's that old quote, you know, hard work beats talent when talent doesn't work hard. That was my mantra. So Drigo, what do you think?
I think Nitty had a good point for me, which it's like hearing your story about the books and you went on the trip with your wife. It reminds me of when me and Mo came to LA and we're working at your office and you're like, what are you guys doing here? You flew out to LA to do client work. And me and Mo were like, yeah, we're dedicated to our business. We're here like working hard. And you're like, you're not seizing your opportunities. So it's like, I guess understanding when you take a step back and when do you keep going?
Yeah, you know what? Mark Savant tweeted this at me. There's 3 words for success. Discipline. And there is something as delaying short-term gratification for long-term gain. I'm a believer in that. I'm playing the long game, perhaps the longest game anyone's ever played. Everything I've done in the last 25 years is for another 25 years into the future that I yet cannot see. Mo, jump back in here.
My participation in the conversation when it comes to Drigo right now is he's finding the nook and crannies to kind of break the advice because he feels like he's hearing 2 different things. One thing right now you're saying, my wife told me that I was holding MacBooks on a vacation. And then when we were at your office, we're working and you're like, why aren't you guys out there looking at the city, taking videos? So my understanding for Drigo is he needs to find the pocket that is both fulfilling, but also making him money. But I think the key thing for Drigo, because I know him, is balance. Because if I was FaceTiming him right now, hearing you say work, 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 he believes in that. But I know he's at a point in his life where he is kind of drained. And I don't know if that advice for him is healthy versus he wants to find balance to be able to scale what he has. And, you know, there's a big part of him that wants to settle down too. So Drigo, like, maybe take this conversation to a place where how can someone like you with the mentorship of Chris and also Nitty and Neil on stage right now find the pocket of balance? Because you do work your ass off. I see you working your ass off daily. It's not the hustling. It's more, and it's not the discipline because when you have client work, you are disciplined as all get out. But what I see in you is the balance of the two, because you go so hard, you burn out, and then you go so hard on vacation, and then you go, you're really difficult on yourself and hard on yourself, and then you have to come back into work, and then you're hard again. So it's this up and down. So I think you need to find a pocket of balance, and I haven't heard that in our dialogue just yet.
Romo, sounds like we're dating each other.
We are. Yeah. I love you.
I love you too, bro. Dude, that sounds right. That sounds, I mean, like our last month, November is probably our biggest month out of the year. And I felt so burned out. And that's the reason I came on vacation. Cause I was like, I can't do client work anymore. But I guess it's finding that balance that I can feel fulfilled with what I'm doing. Cause I do love shooting videos. I love doing the commercial stuff, but it comes down to what Chris said. I'd probably be a lot happier doing $35,000 projects. And like Neil said, finding that pocket where we, you know, we're selling more than just video production. And there's another level of like speaking and doing workshops and all these different things. But
here's my hypothesis. And tell me if I'm off base here, Drigo. You're burnt out because you're doing work for too little money, working too hard for clients you don't really care about, doing things that are not that creative.
Yep, that'd be a great bio.
Okay, so the solution to that is not to go on vacation. The solution is to go find better clients. And the majority of your time should be spent thinking, how do I elevate this? How do I trade up my clients for better clients? And do this brick by brick until you get there. There's a concept here, and I use this concept myself. Early on in my career, about 5 years into the business, it was exploding in that there were so many people calling us for work. I just didn't know what to do with myself. I didn't get all burnt out. I didn't try to run away from my business. I wasn't going to go on vacation because, you know, that expression, strike when the iron's hot. I was striking, baby. So I told my producer, make these clients go away. She's like, what, are you crazy? I'm like, hear me out. Make them go away. Double the project rate. And keep doubling it until they say no. And she goes, okay, like whatever. So she doubles the bid. So a project we submitted to do a 3-second animated logo, it was $20,000. She put it in for $40,000. They said yes. So then she doubled again for the next client and it became $80,000. They kept saying yes. So part of your design is you don't ever have to say no to any client. You just change your price. You change the terms until they work for you. And that's a great way to buy back your time or at least to be paid what you're worth so you can get excited about doing the work again. Now, in the 25 years of making commercials, we've made hundreds of commercials. I didn't love all of them. And the ones that I loved less, you better believe they paid us a lot of money to make me love the project again. And the artists who couldn't afford us, I love those projects because they're really creative. But either way, I designed love back into the project. Either it was going to, when I was working, there's an editor and he was very hot. Like he was so in demand that clients would say, you know, can we change something? Can we do a different edit? And because he had so much success and so much demand for his work, he's like, I don't think that's a good idea, but if you want to pay for a new pool, sure. He's like, I appreciate it. Kids would love the pool. So I think the problem here is we're not looking at this creatively as entrepreneurs. We're just saying, this is what life gives us. Let's do more of this. And then at a certain point, you get totally burnt out. So you need a vacation from your passion. Why not re-engineer your passion so that you don't need a vacation from your passion?
Retweet.
That's very well said.
So Drigo, if I were, like if you were my brother, I take you under my arm. I'm like, you know what? Dude, here's what we're going to do. Let's do X, Y, and Z. I'm going to bring you to this thing. I'm going to teach you, and you're going to make a 6-figure commercial for this client. Let's rock and roll. That's where your mind should be going, not looking for an escape to get off this train. It's the same problem that Mo had. Now, I'm pretty sure you both read Darren Hardy's book or at least listened to an audiobook, The Compound Effect. It's a simple equation, right? Smart decisions applied consistently over time can have radical results. It's all about priming the pump. So the last 5 years of work got you to this year. This year gets you to next year. If you divert your attention, you fall all the way back. And if this is not your life purpose to make videos, to tell stories, so be it. Don't do this anymore. But don't not do it because you're not achieving what you want yet. You yourself had said, I'm willing to put another 2, 3, 5 years into this to have my dream life. Well, put that into action. Use some of your money, hire the right people, take the right courses, study, do what you need to do to be successful. But why change gears? I just do not understand this about the way you guys think. And let's talk about this whole balance thing. I don't believe in that. My cousin asked me, Chris, everything in moderation, right? Yeah. If you want a moderate life, I want an exceptional life. I got one shot at this. I'm going to go for it. I mean, do you want a moderate life? Do you want to be average?
No, of course not. But I feel like we're going to end up circling back into like the beginning of this. So like I don't want to live an average life, right? So that I think that's the reason where I think when we see these different things with like being the course creator, being a YouTuber, that doesn't sound like an average life because there is a lot of hard work that goes into that. And you only get one life to live. So like I think that's when we see these different things and we see these different opportunities. Like, because me and Mo would see people that like were like launching different courses. They're like, dude, why are we not doing this? And I think that's where we're like, maybe we should try that.
Why not start an NFT?
I've thought about it.
Why not buy cryptocurrency?
I have a lot of that.
I mean, just do whatever. Chase whatever. Why not start a multi-level marketing company? Why not flip homes? Why not trade commodities? I mean, there's a lot of different ways to make money.
For sure. I mean, I think a big thing, like me sitting here thinking about this, I think it's also, for me, it's like being an immigrant and just having, like, I mean, kind of like sitting back and thinking about all of this now, it's like being an immigrant coming to America, I have so many opportunities where if I was still in Brazil, they wouldn't be here. So like, I've done a lot of different jobs, as you know, I've been a butler, been a cook, chef, like all different things. So I think that's where I think maybe that comes from. It's just like, am I missing out on another opportunity or something I haven't gotten a taste for yet?
Okay, so you might be at the beginning part of your career where you need to say yes to a lot of different things. And you just try this business, try that investment thing. You can try lots of things. Or do you think you're in that part of your career and life right now?
I don't know if I'm in that part of my career yet, but I'm also the kind of person that like, if you present me a smart idea or something better than what I'm doing, like you said, like I'm not big into having an ego. Like I'll start over again. I'm not scared about that. So I guess for me, it's just like, it comes down to like, am I missing an opportunity or, you know, a chance to have an extraordinary life? Or am I just going to keep doing the exact same thing over and over again?
I don't know. But when I was mapping out Mo's life and career since graduating from school, every year he's changed directions. Almost every year he's switched gears. He keeps switching gears. This is the first time in his life, in his career, where he stuck with one thing, one market, one niche for more than 1 year. That tells you a lot about a person's decision-making, right? I'm interested in that. I'm interested in this. Let me try that. That looks interesting. They're always having more fun over there. What's that, Mo?
Squirrel.
Yeah. So Blair shared this concept with me. Blair Entz. You know what he said? He said the beginning part of your career in your life, you say yes to everything because you're looking for market validation and you're trying to figure out what turns you on, what you become passionate about, what you're good at. And then the second part of your career is hampered by the fact that you keep saying yes to everything and that your yeses have really no power and meaning because you never use no. And so saying yes to everything got you to this first successful part, and it'll be the thing that stalls out your career and your life because you're starting to spread yourself so thin. So like what he said, what Warren Buffett says is almost all successful people he knows says no to almost everything. So the second part of your career, you have to say no to everything and you need to focus in. So you have to determine where you are in the spectrum. Are you at the beginning, the middle, the second part? Where are you in this thing? Because maybe you're not ready to say no. Now I'm looking at my own life. I get out of school, I study graphic design, pretty general, broad thing. I try lots of things, web design, animation, logo design, identity systems, packaging. I do it all, motion graphics. And then in that first year, I'm like, this is not going anywhere. I'm kind of okay at everything, but not really great at anything. So the way I operate, if you can look at this double diamond, this funnel, right? where first I say yes to everything. That lasted for about a year. I decided I'm going to go all in on motion design. I stopped taking on every other kind of project. I want to be a good animator director. I say no to everything. And then that stays consistent for 20 years. So you look at your own diamond. I've been out of school for so long. I've been doing a lot of different things. Maybe it's 5 years, but it could be 10 years. Some people never clamp back down. And I can almost bet that those people who keep saying yes to every single kind of thing don't ever hit that level of success. Not everyone, but most people. Now, I'm looking at Neil's profile here. It says he went from $300,000 to $4 million a year. I'm going to ask you this question. Neil, did you focus in?
Yes. So I did what these guys are doing for 10 years. And I was stuck making $200,000 to $300,000 a year. And I said, I'm going to do something different. I want to scale my business. I'm tired. I'm burnt out. So I ended up increasing the amount of work I was doing, but doing it in a better way. So I think like a lot of times we're talking about how to, like, that's why I talked earlier about like, what is the pathway to making more money? Because I mean, Drigo's burnt out on projects that are uninspiring. People are grinding, you know, wanting something done for a certain price. They're bidding three different vendors to get the best deal. I mean, it's a grind, but when you flip it to inbound, which is what Chris was talking about earlier, you know, why aren't you guys building your brand? Why aren't you creating content? It's a totally different experience where people are reaching out to you and they already respect you. And now you can kind of scale the business up, hire people, delegate some of the work that does burn you out. You can delegate that work. And it's pretty crazy how quickly you can increase your income. Like, it seems far-fetched when I tell people, like, I'm sure I can't go from that same level of increase from this level, but getting from six figures to seven figures seems difficult, but it's actually not. I'm sure Chris can attest to that as well.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, what the kind of clients that you want to have are the clients that I ultimately walked away from because I wanted to pursue something different. But at that point, I achieved enough experience, accolades, and built up enough cash that I didn't need to do that anymore. I could do whatever I want. And I used that freedom, that opportunity to build a different kind of company where I made no money. And I'm not telling you to do some things that I haven't done myself. You know, at the time in which I mentally checked out of the service business, Blind was doing between $4 to $5 million a year. And no one in my inner circle could understand why I would walk away. So I let the company do its own thing. And I knew without me being actively involved, it was going to go into a pretty quick decline, but it could just run itself. I would go back to the team, the management team. I would say to my creative directors and the executive producers at that time, do the best that you can to run the ship for as long as possible while I tried to build out another company. When that company is successful, I would invite all of you who are willing to come on over and we don't have to do this servicing anymore. So in 2014, I was building out this new company and I was just working on the future. We made almost no money. The first year we made $14,000, but I wasn't worried because there was another successful company funding my second company. I was my own venture capitalist in this way. I used the resources, the building, the talent, and the network that I already knew to build a second company. Again, when I tell you this, I go all in. I'm like, I'm mentally checked out. I have no involvement with the future. I mean, with Blind. And eventually, this company becomes a real thing. So in December of 2018, when we had gross $1.8 million for the future, I told the guys, this is the time. Let's go. Everybody jump off the ship. We're not going to do client work anymore. It was super scary. And there were some really big, gigantic jobs with dream clients we just said no to. And that was the last time we took on any new client work. That was it. So you can achieve one or the other, but unless you have the resources to run multiple companies, I just don't know how you're going to get there.
Time for a quick break, but we'll be right back.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome back to our conversation.
I want to chime in because I'm hearing similarities from Neil's story and your story, Chris. And I was listening a little bit to you and Nitty's conversation this morning. The theme is staying in the pocket for much longer than we think we should stay in the pocket as far as the expertise building. Like what Neil was hinting at was innovating his real estate business, and that took him longer than he needed to, but he was still in the real estate business. I think while I'm hearing Drigo, and then I'm still reflecting on my conversation with you yesterday, like particularly when you just said the act two, it's like for me particularly, it's no longer testing and experimenting. This is now the phase, and I think that's why I'm personally struggling. This is now the phase where I have to become a different version of myself and stay in the pocket, which is something that I, because I'm coming out of that phase of testing and jumping. And I think, Drigo, just to speak on your behalf and correct me if I'm wrong, I think sometimes we see a lot of things around us that give us misinformation and it looks like, oh, well, jumping is the right answer. When in reality, and me and Chris were talking about this, it's, you know, that meme where someone's like chipping at dirt and then someone stops, but then the one that doesn't finally hits that gold. Like I'm starting to realize that you just hold it out just a little bit longer. That's a big piece for me. And doing that while also saying no to the things around me that may seem enticing in the moment. So I relate to both Chris and Neil and like, how can you innovate the current business to where you get the more money, you get the scale, you get the clients, but simultaneously staying and building your expertise in that business and not jumping to something else. That was a rant, but that was on my mind.
Go ahead, Drigo.
I mean, I honestly got clarity. I think my biggest takeaways from tonight is I need to focus, apply discipline, and learn to say no. And like what Mo just said, like stay in the pocket a little bit longer to reach the level of success that I'm looking for.
I'm on the internet. I'm trying to look for a quote. I found one for you. And I know who you know it's from as soon as I say it, okay? If you live for weekends and vacations, your stuff is broken. You know who said that, Drigo?
I do.
Who said it?
It's Gary Vee.
You got it. If you live for weekends, vacations, your stuff, and he didn't say stuff, is broken. So I look at it like this. You're not burnt out. You just haven't designed your business and your career to be what it wants to be. So you just become distracted. You look for another thing and you'll keep looking for that other thing because you haven't designed it. All these distractions that look like opportunities are truly just that. They're just distractions. So design the life that you want. Make a commitment to it and do not accept defeat. Do not accept that as a possibility and keep working at it until it works for you. Because what happens is this, and we talked about this yesterday, on the other side of this funk that you're going through, the dip, is everything you want in life. And Nitty talked about this. If you look at the graph, where there's time and energy and results, right? Time and energy on the x-axis and results on the y-axis, if you can map this out. In the beginning of everything that you do, you get a lot of results for not a lot of effort. When you play a video game, when you play a new sport, when you learn to dance or sing, it feels great at the beginning. And then it starts to get into a slump where it feels like a lot of work and not a lot of results. You might be in that dip right now. And this is where people just stop. So in my life, that dip sounded like I wasn't taking good care of my body. My personal relationships with friends, with family was deteriorating. It's working like an animal, not long-term sustainable at all. But I persevered and I got through that dip. And then the rest of it was gravy. And I've been riding that gravy train for a long time. So in the 25 years in which I've run a business, I've had 2 years that were, 1 year was in the red and 1 year was not profitable. Like it was kind of break even. All the other years were profitable. You get to get into that gravy state, but you guys keep changing your mind. I don't like this. So instead of designing it to work for you, you just chase something else. You become distracted. You take a vacation. You take more vacations on top of your vacations. And I don't get it. You and I, we're not digging ditches. We're not doing physically demanding labor that's backbreaking. We're not working out in the hot sun. whatever it is that we pursued in our lives, we decided, you know what? We want to do something creative. We want to have a creative expression. You picked up a camera. You wanted to learn how to shoot and edit and tell stories in a visual format. That was supposed to be your vacation. So that's why I'm like, why do we need a vacation from our vacation? I do not understand this. Every day people ask me this question. You work all the time. I said, yeah, technically it's called work because what I do, I get paid for. This is my profession, but I haven't been working in a really long time. I don't know what else I would be doing with my life. And you know what? The way the world works, the more passionate I'm about what it is that I'm doing, the more effort I give, the more I'm rewarded for it over and over again. This confounds me. It confounds me that yesterday, when I thought I laid out the case so clear, and I asked Mo, what do you want to do? He goes, 50-50. Like, I just want to hit my head against the wall. I'm talking to you, Drigo. I said, which would you rather have? A life of ultimate freedom creating YouTube videos and making six figures, doing whatever the hell you want. You still say, if I could get paid more working with better clients, I would prefer doing service work. And then I ask you, what do you want to do? Like, it's not clear to me, Chris. I do not understand you guys. Help me understand you. Or Nitty, help me understand them, please. Please help me. Dear God, help me.
Yes.
Well, my initial thought, Chris, was, you know, do Mo and Rodrigo believe in the possibilities that are there, that it could be enjoyable and exciting to lean into the thought leadership, right? Because I think sometimes, you know, when we hear really high numbers getting paid for that knowledge-based service, essentially, it's what you're talking about with content creation, like, I mean, I know that this has been a challenge for me. It's like, is that even possible? We know that you've achieved it, but I think a part of each of us, and please, I don't want to speak for anybody else. I know at least a part within me has wondered, like, well, is that even feasible? Like, can you really make that much money? And is this really where that, like, where the success would be? And so I definitely hear what you're saying in the conversation about, you know, committing to going all in on something and being able to drive that to the point of it being exceptional and being a moneymaker and being able to then buy yourself back essentially the passion and the time that you get to invest in something else, a passion project. But I think sometimes we get hung up on perhaps what we think could be possible. And I know for me, boredom plays a role. I previously, before, you know, becoming an entrepreneur, I was a little bit of a job hopper myself. It was like, do a role for 2 or 3 years, bump to another one, do a role for 2 or 3 years, bump to another one. And I found that for me, and I don't know if this relates to you and Mo and Rodrigo as well, I know that I get bored and I start to want something fresh and different and something that's going to challenge me in a different way. So those were just some musings and some thoughts that came up for me as we were having this conversation. And it's a tough position to be in.
Yeah. I want to mention something that Mark Savant tweeted at us. He's like, it's like there's always another exciting and innovating opportunity. It's tough to stay the course and turn off the innovation. I love how he used that word innovation and creativity of trying new things. So Nitty, when you're hopping from thing to thing to thing, were you growing in your earning potential or were you kind of starting over each time?
No, it was growing the earning potential, right? So like these were all salary jobs before I became an entrepreneur. So like first job out of school was around the 50K range. Then I get bumped up to 60. Then it got bumped up to 70, right? So there was that monetary progression. The thing was, though, that each of those roles were just not super fulfilling. I burned out in every single one. So I really felt what Mo and Rodrigo were saying about that burnout factor and it just being exhausting. And you start to wonder, at what cost am I making this money? Like, and that's why I asked you about the cost, Chris, because there was a period in my life where I was so burned out from doing the clinical work. And it was my highest paying job for sure before I became an entrepreneur. But I was having trouble getting out of bed in the mornings. I was depressed all the time. I literally came home from work and cried. Like, that wasn't worth it to me. You know what I mean? Like, the, developing the mastery of the craft at the sacrifice of my health and well-being, until literally, like, I had a mental breakdown and physically got nearly hospitalized from pneumonia. That was the pivotal moment for me of like, nah, this isn't worth it. So I can relate to what they're saying about the burnout piece, but I agree with what you're saying, Chris, about as an entrepreneur, you have different choices than you do when you're working with an organization, right? So you can mold your business to be anything that you desire. And that can include charging more money for those clients so you see fewer of them, generate the revenue to then invest in the passion projects. So all of that makes complete sense to me.
All right. So you traded up each time you quit your job and got a new job. And you got paid more, and that was probably one of the reasons why you left. And that's an excellent way from a career point of view. If you're working in a job and some of this entrepreneurship is like not for you, is you just trade one job for a new job. Hopefully it's a job that you love more than the previous job and that you have more responsibilities and autonomy in terms of shaping where you go in your life and your career. I thought when you were saying you're hopping from job to job, that you were switching gears altogether, like, oh, I'm an architect, and then I'm an illustrator, and then I'm an accountant. Because typically when people jump from a different career to a different career, they kind of start all over again. Because in many cases, those skills are not transferable to their new job, especially when you're jumping from one thing that's very different to another thing. And so I'm glad that you were trading up, but ultimately you found what it is that you want, right?
Yeah, well, I mean, this conversation is interesting to me too, right, Chris? Because, yeah, you know, I'm in a pivot in my own business right now, right? Mm-hmm. Like, I reached that same point of burned out again with the client work. So now it's like, well, let's focus on speaking. But there is a thread that connects it, right? So it's taking the expertise developed over a decade and now applying it in a different way. And so that's kind of the way I'm viewing it. It's another step up, I would believe, but it's not changing careers altogether, because I would still be speaking on topics that relate back to the decade that I just spent building, right?
Yeah. I want to present to you guys another data point here. I was talking to a YouTube creator. His name is Unmesh Dinda. He has a YouTube channel, which I highly recommend if you want to learn anything about Photoshop, called Pics Imperfect. We're at Adobe Max and we're talking. He's telling this story. And at first, if I remembered it, I thought he was telling his story. But when I went back and I listened to it again, he was telling the story of another YouTube creator. First, I'll tell this story, and then I'll tell you who the YouTube creator was. He said that when I got started, I made 100 videos for a total of 1,000 subscribers. And that boggled my mind, because that is an average of 10 subs per video. And I have to say, if that was me, I'm not sure I could have that motivation to keep going, because 10 subscribers per video is dreadful. And then he told me, I think if I remember the story correctly, that creator was Mr. Beast. And I think of another creator. His name is Mike. And Mike creates a piece of art. And he decided every single day, you know, he's going to make something. And so every single day with that failure, there's a piece of art. Something goes up, something gets posted. And by his own admission, a lot of it's crap. And he keeps doing this for a day, for a week, for a month, and then for years, which he made $0 from. 13 years into it, he decides to put all of his pieces of art together, and he calls it the first 5,000 days. He auctions this off for $69.3 million. You know who I'm talking about. His name is Beeple, aka Mike. And so you think to yourself, man, what if Jimmy quit at video 50 because it sucked? Because he wasn't making progress, because he wasn't getting the results. He's like, this sucks. I'm burnt out on making this. What if people, year seven, it's like, 7 years? That's a good number. That is enough. I'm sure both of them would find success in something else, but their stories are here to tell you of this bigger idea. Yeah, it sucks. Yes, it's work and it's hard. You have to make sacrifices. It requires discipline. But like I said before, on the other side of that dip is everything you want in your life. And the amazing thing is most people quit. I say amazing because I don't want to have so much competition. I like being here alone or relatively alone, because by being one of a few, it creates scarcity. Things that are scarce are valuable in this world. So I like to go where no one wants to go. I'm looking at a number here. I have a graphic and it's in my photo album because I stumbled upon it on my hard drive. I said, I need to save this. And you know what? There's this graphic. It says 10,000 subscribers. And the date is 12/25/15. It's got all this little bit of glitter on it because I was celebrating that we finally hit 10,000 subscribers. Now, those of you that are OG fans of the YouTube channel, Jose and I dropped our very first video in January of 2014. It took us almost 2 full years to get to 10,000 subscribers. That sucks. That totally sucks. But we didn't quit. And to put it into contrast, there are some days when we get 10,000 subs a day. But we're not getting here if we don't go through those first 2 years. And you know, some people wonder, like, what happened to my co-founder? What happened to my co-creator? Well, we have a very different mindset about how to become successful. His philosophy is work a little here, work a little there. Eventually, you get there. My philosophy is do everything in your power, clear your table until you get there, and do not do anything else. And so eventually, he and I, we went separate ways. I'm still making YouTube content. He isn't. Because we have fundamentally different beliefs and a different strategy on how to get where we're getting. So back over to you, Drigo and Mo. I think you guys are in this place where you're not seeing the kind of success in an unrealistic way. You, rather than designing success into your life, figuring out what it is you need to do, who you need to become to attract the kind of clients you want and the projects you desire, you take a break. And the break can be, I want to do something different with my life. I still don't understand it. You guys help me understand it, please.
I'm not taking breaks. I don't go on vacation. I'm just messing with Driga.
I mean, honestly, at this point, I feel very confident where I want to move forward with this. Chris, I'm going to stick to what I'm doing right now. I feel that that is, like, right in my heart. So I don't want to try to tell you why, like, how come you don't understand that. But I think before, we just not having clarity. I think you have a very special skill that, like, you see that bullseye and nothing will get in your way from it. And maybe just the way that I grew up a little bit different, that, you know, I lacked a little bit of focus and discipline growing up here. But after this call today, I found clarity on what is it that I'm going to be doing for the next 3 to 5 years.
Are you committed to doing this, Drigo?
I am.
Can you see this future for yourself?
I can.
Do you believe you have the skill set, the desire, the motivation to get there?
I truly do.
So all of the rest is just taking the steps. That's all it is.
That's it. You got to do the work.
That's it. Do the work, but do it smart. Change the business until it becomes the business you want it to be. Now, you and I will talk later because I think I know how to get you to your goal, right? So I put this in perspective for you to consider. When I told you in December 2018, we decided to taking on client work. Well, one of those clients that we love called us up and said, you know what? We need you to do this project for us. We love working with you guys. And we're like, oh my God, we had just made this decision. And I don't want to tell you the brand, but it's from a major video game manufacturer. And you know, I love video games. And we were tested. They're like, the budget is $400,000. And I was like, oh my God, maybe we can take on one more project, maybe. And I thought about it. This money takes me away from the mission and the plan and our singular focus. I took a deep breath, swallowed like what felt like a softball. I told the team, turn it down. And I was surprised because I thought the team would fight me. Because we worked our entire lives to get to a point in which we could look at a $400,000 budget from a major video game manufacturer, and now we're going to say no. So when I told them, turn it down, I was prepared to do a little bit of a battle with them. And to my surprise, they said, okay. So when I talk to you guys about resolve and your willingness to go after what it is that you want, sometimes it's just putting in the hard work, but sometimes it's also walking away from a very alluring opportunity, in your words, distraction in my word. And you know what? They said, okay, fine. They came back with another project from them for $300,000. This time it was a little easier to say no because we already said no one time. And plus it was a smaller budget. Didn't matter to us. So in a span of a few months, we walked away from $700,000 of business that they were just going to give to us. So I ask each and every one of you, it's gut check time. How bad do you want this thing? What are you willing to give up? What kind of gratification are you willing to delay so that you could have this long-term goal of yours? And I know the stories that excite you and Mo. And I have to rethink if I want to tell you these stories, because you're like, well, Chris is doing this thing and it's incredible. But you forgot, it's built on 23 years of service, 7 years of building up a product and education company to get to this point. Each success, each opportunity comes from doing what needs to be done so that these other doors can open. But I imagine, I hate to say it like this, that you, in either one of you, you're the next Michael Winkelman. But you know what? Year 12, day 355, you quit. You don't get to the first 5,000 days. You got to day 4,999 and nobody wants that. And you just quit. He played a long game. I think he just cleared $100 million in the last year, which is mind-blowing to me. That's what focus looks like. That's what dedication sounds like. That's what delayed gratification sounds like.
Thanks for joining us this time. If you haven't already, subscribe to our show on your favorite podcasting app and get a new insightful episode from us every week. The Future Podcast is hosted by Chris Doe and produced by me, Greg Gunn. Thank you to Anthony Barrow for editing and mixing this episode. And thank you to Adam Sanborn for our intro music. If you enjoyed this episode, then do us a favor by rating and reviewing our show on Apple Podcasts. It'll help us grow the show and make future episodes that much better. Have a question for Chris or me? Head over to thefuture.com/heychris and ask away. We read every submission and we just might answer yours in a later episode. If you'd like to support the show and invest in yourself while you're at it, visit thefuture.com. You'll find video courses, digital products, and a bunch of helpful resources about design and creative business. Thanks again for listening, and we'll see you next time.